Thank you for tuning in to the podcast of Lydia Brown Ministries, where we have a conversation about faith and bringing revival to your life. Hello, and thank you for tuning in to this week's podcast. I'm your host, Lydia Brown Raphael, and I am so honored that you have taken the time to join me today. I am looking forward to diving right into what I believe the Lord has in store for us today. So welcome from wherever you're listening at in the world. If you are one of our international listeners, thank you for tuning in. And even though today I'm going to be talking about prayer for our nation here in the United States, I also want you to know that you can take these same principles and these scriptures and use it wherever you are, because you have authority wherever you are. So I want to recommend today, I'm not going to get in depth into the authority of the believer, but if you have not read the book by Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, I want you to go and hop on the internet and download or order The Authority of the Believer by Kenneth E. Hagin, because it has a lot of great resources in that book that will help you take authority where you are in your region and in your area. And so welcome to our international as well as our listeners here in the United States. As you know, we have a midterm election that is coming up. And last week we talked about not getting in fear concerning this, that we refuse to fear, regardless of what we see, regardless of what we hear, regardless of what we feel. We will not fear. We will not be afraid. Amen. And so this week, I want us to talk about prayer for our nation. And this midterm election's coming up here in the next few days. So now is the time to really be buckling down and praying. And we need all hands on deck. We need every man, woman, boy, girl. We need everyone praying. If you are a part of the body of Christ, you have a responsibility to pray. Amen. And so we've already kind of got into in our God We Trust series about, you know, we need to get out and vote. We need to vote the Bible and those kind of things. But today I'm confident that everyone who's listening to me is going to go vote or already has voted early. But today I'm going to focus on how we pray. Amen. Because we don't just leave the voting poll and go home and coast. We can pray and we can be co-laborers with Christ here in the earth and pray out the plans of God and stop the strategies of the enemy. Amen. And so we are told in James 5:16 that the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Other translation reads that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm sure you've heard it that way. This is so true that you need to be reminded that your prayer availeth much, that it has great power and it produces wonderful results. So we're not just going to wait on our pastor to pray. We're not just going to wait on our teachers or our mentors to pray or our leaders to pray or maybe our moms and dads or our grandparents or our elders. No, we are going to pray. Even if you are a young person listening to me, maybe you're 13, 14, 15 years old, you can pray. And so you might say, Lydia, well, I want to pray, but how do I pray? Well, like I said before, we're going to get into a prayer series at some point in the future whenever the Holy Spirit leads us to do a series on prayer, because that's something I already feel that we need to do. And so I'm praying on the right time to do that. But as for now, I want to give you a couple of pointers, because, you know, you really don't have to know everything about prayer just to start praying. Right? If we pray what the Bible says to pray, we won't go wrong. And so the Bible says, pray for your fellow citizens and all of your leaders in government. It says in 1 Timothy 2:1-5, I urge you. He uses the word urge here. I find that interesting. He's urging that this is urgent. This is necessary. First of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf. And give thanks for them. Pray in this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Wow. This verse is really power-packed here, because, you know, the Lord's asking us to ask, you know, God to help others, to help our leaders, to help our citizens. And right now, in a time where it seems as, you know, as though things are so divided, you might say, Lydia, it's hard to pray for that person, or it's hard to pray for this group, or it's hard to pray for these kind of people. Well, the Bible urges us to pray for all people and to ask God to help them. And that word intercede there means to stand in the gap on their behalf. You know, maybe those people don't know how to pray for themselves. Maybe some of these people don't even believe in God. And right now, we have an opportunity to pray and to intercede in their behalf. You know, we have also an intercessor at the right hand of the Father, whose name is Jesus Christ, who is forever making intercession for us. So we have an opportunity here in the earth to intercede on the behalf of all people and to give thanks to God for them. Regardless if you agree with them or if you like them or not, we thank God for them. We bless them. We pray for them. We ask God to help them. And we pray in this same way for kings and all of those who are in authority. You know, here in the United States, we don't have, you know, a monarchy. We don't have kings and queens. But we do have elected officials and people who are in authority. We have, you know, our government, our federal government. We have our state government, our local government. And there, those people there, they need our prayers, right? And so everyone who's in authority over us, we need to pray for them. If we voted for them or not, if we like them or prefer them or not, if we agree with their policies or not, or what they stand for, we pray for them. And the goal is to live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. So I want to encourage you that as you focus your attention on prayer, let's try to ignore opportunities to disrupt peace and to do something that would be opposite from living a quiet life marked by godliness and dignity according to the Word of God. We choose the path of peace. We speak the truth in love. We choose the path of peace. We follow what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. And by all necessary, anything that we can do that is necessary to choose, it's always necessary to choose love, because that outcome is peace. Amen. So does that mean that we don't stand up for things that are right, that we don't speak the truth, that we don't, you know, let the Word of God be known and take a stand for righteousness? Absolutely not. But it means that we do it from a place of love, from a place of peace, because the Lord always looks at our motive. Amen. And so we are going to pray for our fellow citizens and for all of our leaders. And I want to encourage you on how we pray. How do we approach the Lord concerning this? It says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will restore their land. My New King James Version says that I will heal their land. And so God is not talking to the world here. He's talking to his people, right? In the Old Testament, his people were the children of Israel. But now here we are. We've been grafted into the body. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. Amen. We are his bride. So we are his people. And the Lord wants us to also humble ourselves. You know, it says in the Word of God in Proverbs that the Lord resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So the first instruction here for this prayer to work is to humble yourself. And I know some of us might say, oh, I've heard this before, you know, brush right over that. But we really need to focus in and say, God, where do I need to humble myself in my life? I'm not focusing on my fellow neighbor. I'm not focusing on my leader. I'm not focusing on a party. I'm focusing right now on Lydia. Where do I need to humble myself? And show me, you know, those prayers in Ephesians that Paul prayed, they're so good about the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. You want your eyes to be open and you don't want to be deceived. You want to pray that the Lord would show you any area that you need to correct, that you need to humble yourself in. And what is humility? You know, a simple definition of humility is not thinking, you know, less of yourself, right? Because you have worth and you have value. You were so precious and so valuable to God that he sent his only son to die for you. So you have value and you have worth. It's not thinking that you're just worthless and I'm nothing. No, it's not thinking less of yourself, but it's just simply thinking of yourself less. Thinking of others. It's humbling yourself and saying, God, I might not have it all. I know I don't have it all together. And there might be areas that I thought I was right in that I'm deceived in. Show me those areas. I'm pretty sure we've all got those areas, right? Or we've had them at some point. There are things that we can always grow in, is my point here. And so to humble yourself before the Lord is just to ask him to help you, right? To be more like Jesus and to obey what he tells you to do, because that's what Jesus did. He said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me, right? So we aren't out there as a lone ranger doing our own thing, but we are doing the will of the one who sent us. And who sent us? Jesus commissioned us, your heavenly Father. He has sent you. The Holy Spirit is in you and on you, and he's backing you, working through you. You're not out there doing your own thing, right? You're submitted to the Lord. And so you humble yourself in the way that you are, the way that you really, to me, one of the greatest definitions of humility is just obeying what God says, right? I think of Moses in the Bible. You know, he continued to just get instructions from God and then obeyed. Listen and obeyed. Listen and obeyed. And we see that he was a man of great humility. And I want to encourage you to just obey what God says to do and walk in the light of what you know. You might not have it all figured out. I'm sure you don't, because I definitely don't. I don't think any of us do. We all know in part, right? But we walk in the light of what we know. I love that. Brother Hagin would always say, just walk in the light that you have. And as you get more light, you know, let's all walk in that light. And so we want to humble ourselves before the Lord, and we want to pray and seek his face, because he is the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer for America. Jesus Christ is the answer for the United States, for every state, for every county, for every city, for every town. He is the answer. And here it says to turn from your wicked ways or to repent. I believe that God is calling America to repentance. I believe that God is calling us to lay on our face before him, to seek him, and to humble ourselves before him. And as we pray, to repent and to say, God, forgive us of our sins. We repent on the behalf of our nation. We repent on the behalf of our leaders. We repent on the behalf of what has happened here in America. You know, I want to encourage you to listen. If you haven't, go and listen to a man by the name of Rabbi Jonathan Cahn. And he has come out with some great books, starting with The Harbinger. And he has several following it. And they are so rich. And they are power-packed. It's something you definitely want to get your hands on and listen to through an Audible book or read. Because he is sharing about how God's calling America to repentance. God is calling America to wake up. You know, after 9/11 happened, I can remember whenever I was just a little girl, whenever 9/11 happened, and me and my mom were standing in front of the TV watching the towers fall. And I just remember being so impacted at such a young age, and the feeling that I felt of just an overwhelming sadness for what was happening in our nation. And I immediately, even as a child, began to pray. Begin to seek God, to turn to the Lord for answers, to seek that's to seek His face. And our whole nation, churches flooded with people after 9/11, and everyone was in church. Most people were in church. They were turning back to God, and they were looking to Him, but it didn't stick and it didn't last. And that's the thing. Repentance is not just I'm sorry or forgive me. It is doing a complete 180, turning around and walking in the opposite direction that you were going. And so that is what God's calling us to do as a nation, is to repent. He is calling us to repent. He is calling us to seek Him as the answer, not a person, not a party, but Him as the answer. And when we do that, what does He say? He says, I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will restore their land, or I will heal their land. America needs God. Our nation needs God. We need a touch from heaven. We need Him to restore our land. In this time, we cannot make it without Him. My friends, there's no other way. Jesus is the only way. So I want to encourage you to be a part of the people of God who are called by His name, that you would humble yourself, and that before this midterm election, you would pray, and that you would seek the face of God, that you would turn from your wicked ways, and that you would hear from heaven, and know that when you do, that God will forgive our sins and He'll heal our land. Because Psalms 33:12 says, and I want to leave this with you today, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance. We are still one nation under God, and in God we trust. Amen. And so as we come up on these midterm elections, I want to encourage you to pray the Bible, to pray the Scriptures. You can pray some of these I've given you today. You can look up some yourself, but pray the Bible and pray that our Heavenly Father would put who He wants in authority, that He would place the people that He wants there, and that no one could steal this election, that no one can compromise the plan of God, because we're going to pray out the plan of God. Amen. We're going to be co-laborers with Christ, and we're going to pray out His plan. And in closing today, I want to say a prayer. And I want to say just a brief prayer for you and for our nation. But I want us to each individually go deeper, go to the deeper places with the Holy Spirit, and pray out the plans of God that He has for you to pray out, and for you specifically, assignments that He puts you on in prayer to pray, that you would follow His lead and that you would be a mouthpiece for Him in the earth. So, Father, I lift up my friends to You. I thank You for them today. I thank You that they love You. I thank You that they want to see righteousness and truth prevail. I thank You, Lord, that they want this nation to be blessed, because our nation is a nation whose God is the Lord. And there are still many, many more people in America who love You than who don't. I believe that there are many more people in America who want to see revival in our land than who don't. And so, God, I ask you to have mercy on your people and mercy on our nation. We humble ourselves before you and we pray. We ask, God, that you would reveal the ways that we have gone wrong, that you would help us correct, that you would help us to get back on the path that you have for us to walk, Father. We turn from our wicked ways. We repent, God, of our sins. And we ask you to have mercy on America. We ask you to have mercy on every state and on every county and on every city and town in this nation. That you would raise up prayer warriors. That you would raise up laborers, God. That you would raise up intercessors across this nation to pray out your plan and your purposes in the earth. God, I humble myself before you and I pray with my friends today and we repent on the behalf of America and we seek your face, God. We ask, God, that you would help us, that you would help us walk in your ways, that you would help us be in your will, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us for the innocent blood that has been shed here in America. Forgive us for the ways of the wicked, God, for the ways of evil that our country has tolerated and walked in. And Lord, I ask that you would restore and heal our land. Oh, Father, there is so much to be prayed today. There is so much that can be said. There is so much that you want to do in our nation. And Father, I ask that you would lead your church, that you would lead your people, that you would raise up your people to be the glorious church that you have called us to be in this hour. And that we would pray, that we would walk out into the deep with you. That we would go as far as you want us to go and walk as long as you want us to walk. And that we would pray out your plans in the earth that bring you glory, that bring you honor, and that bring you praise, Father. We ask you to put the right people that you have anointed for this hour in authority. And Lord, we bless them. We bless all of our fellow citizens and all of our leaders. And we pray for those people and we ask you to help them. Father, we thank you for them. And we pray, Father, that you would give us all the grace to live peacefully and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. We know that we can because you've asked us to. So we thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit to do this in Jesus' name. We pray that you would receive all glory, all honor, and all praise, and that you would send revival to America. Awaken our land and prepare us for your coming. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. And as I said, there's so much more to be prayed, but as we each individually go to our private place of prayer and we yield to the Holy Spirit, we are going to accomplish the assignments that He has for us to accomplish in prayer. So I want to encourage you to pray, to don't be afraid, and to trust the Lord because we know how everything ends. We've read the back of the book and we win. Amen. So until next time, this is Lydia Brown Raphael. And remember that Jesus is coming soon.
Thank you for tuning into this week's podcast. This episode was brought to you by the partners of Lydia Brown Ministries. For more ways to connect with us or to sow into our ministry, please visit the links in the podcast description.